Good morning, everybody. Please take your seats. Welcome to Shore Foundation Baptist Church. First song we're going to be singing is song 379. Song 379, Bringing in the Sheaves. Bringing in the Sheaves. Song 379 in your hymn books. 379 on the first.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
All right, good singing. Brother Jerry, could you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. Next song we're going to be singing is Revive Us Again, song 343. Song 343 in your hymn books. 343. Revive Us Again, 343. On the first.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
All right, now for some announcements.
All right, Welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church. Today is the Orthodox Easter. Just kidding. You know, Orthodox oddity, right? They want to do everything different. But raise your hand if you need a bulletin, and the usher will bring one to you. They must be calculating the, you know, the feast days wrong or something. They might get a new moon wrong. Maybe Artemis can show them the moon. But anyway, the verse of the week is Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus Christ said this, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That means if you're not winning souls to Christ, then you're not following Jesus. Amen. So that's a great verse here. Let's look at the inside page. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. Although Facebook has been on me yesterday, you know, Facebook took down five of my posts just one day for some reason. Must be super triggered with my, you know, dog picture. But, and yeah, whatever. But service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. We finished the book of Ruth, and then we're going to start a new book this coming Wednesday. We're going to do the book of Acts by Luke, okay? So Acts of the Apostles, we're going to go through it verse by verse, probably going to break up the chapters up a little bit. So, you know, it's, you know, if you are local in the area, please join us to study the new book. We have soul winning this afternoon at 1:30, and Saturday morning soul winning at 10:30 a.m. Yesterday, we have a total of 17 soul winners and 20-plus salvations, plus, you know, with the college, you know, the group up north, OMI TV. So it's a great day yesterday, and Butler was fun. It's a preview of the college soul winning marathon planned out this year. We'll be going to IU Bloomington, Chicago State, Purdue University, somewhere else, whatever. You know, I'm pretty sure the list will grow. Upcoming events. So on Sunday, May 24th, we'll be meeting at a different location, just like last year, because of the Indy 500 lease, you know, restriction. So more details to come on May 24th. That's just a once a year thing because of the location of the building stuff. So also, I have posted the QR code for the Gary Sony Marathon, as well as the IU Bloomington Sony Marathon, back-to-back Sony. So, you know, that's going to be fun. Please go to godresource.com if you want to RSVP, or you can RSVP at the church, you know, so I can get a headcount. But more, but you know, all the meetup locations, details, time, it's on the QR code. It's on godresource.com. You can even filter, you know, it's a very cool website, you know, with all the events, soul winning, college things. So feel free to use that resource. April Sunday afternoon preaching schedule is for you to see. If you want to know how to be saved or needs to be baptized, please see an usher or myself after the service. On the back, you can see the birthdays coming up for the month of April. We'll be seeing happy birthday to them during the afternoon service. So also, we have a place for you to take sermon notes. I mean, it's a great way for you to remind yourself what's being preached. You know, it might help you to write your own sermons in the future. Maybe you can borrow the outlines. There's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure you study your own sermon. So that's a resource for you. So with that being said, let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering.
All right, everybody, please take out your binders and go to Psalm 139. The non-hateful version of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, on the first. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When I awake, I am still with thee.
All right, ushers, please come up. Brother Stephen, can you please pray for the offering?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for everyone getting here safely. Lord, you bless the service, Lord, and soul winning, and the finances, Lord, to be used to further your gospel kingdom. Your name is Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen.
All right, we'll be in Matthew chapter 4 this morning. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. I'm not sure we'll provide one for you. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible reads, "Then was Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith he unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, and he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.' From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in his ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, that they were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." Brother Matt, could you pray us to the service?
Amen. You are in Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 18. Matthew 4:18. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And the title of the sermon this morning is called Follow Me. Follow Me. And people, including Christians, have some warped ideas about the concept of fellowship. Okay, so I look up the definition of the word fellowship. Fellowship is the capacity of people to effectively support leaders, contribute to team goals, and exercise independent judgment within an organizational structure. And some Christians would make claims that we should never follow a man, but only follow Christ, while others think that we should follow a man to the bitter end, okay? So we have two extremes of the warped ideas of the so-called fellowship. So this morning, I want to preach a sermon called Follow Me, just to tell you what the Bible teaches about the concept of fellowship. Point number one, the call to follow Christ. The call to follow Christ. Look at verse number 19 again, Matthew 4:19. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." So Jesus Christ, you know, wants people to follow him. And the only way to be fishers of men, also known as soul winners, is to follow Christ. Amen. Right? Look at verse 21. "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, that their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately," don't miss this, "left the ship and their father and followed him." That means sometimes following Christ means you have to forsake your career, right? They left their ship, and also forsake your human relationships. They left their ships and they left their father and they follow Christ. Because sometimes following Christ means you have to forsake earthly things, earthly careers, earthly relationships, friendships, so on and so forth. Now we should try our best to maintain our peace with all men if that's possible, but sometimes it's not possible, right? Sometimes in order to follow Christ, we have to cut bad friends off. We have to cut wicked family members off, and sometimes we even have to cut other Christians off, yeah. Right? In order for us to follow Christ. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Look at verse number 18. Matthew 8:18. The Bible says this, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandments to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." So the scribe decided to follow Jesus, but then Jesus Christ told him the cost to follow him. Look at verse number 20. "And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." So Christ was essentially saying this: if you want to follow me, it may cost you something. You may lose your comfort. You may lose the place to stay. You may be struggling to find a place to sleep. You might be evicted. Okay, so at first, the scribe wanted to follow Christ, but then Jesus Christ told him the cost to follow him is that sometimes you may lose the place to stay. You may lose your comfort. Okay, look at verse 21, Matthew 8:21. And another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." This is not talking about, you know, having the dead people burying themselves, okay? And the word dead can mean physically dead or spiritually dead. I think it makes more sense that the dead here means spiritually dead. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 1, "And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? So I think Matthew 8, verse 22 means that to let those people who are spiritually dead handle earthly matters while you prioritize following Christ. For example, if your parents are not saved, you need to prioritize serving Christ first. Amen. Let the dead bury the dead. Now go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Look at verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. The Bible says this: He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. See, if your parents want you to stop going to church and you cave into that pressure, then you are not following Christ. Right. Then you are loving your parents more than you love Christ. Amen. Yeah. If you won't obey Jesus because you are afraid of disappointing your parents, then you are not following Christ. Right. If your children keep you out of church and you let them, then you are loving your children more than you love Christ. Amen. Right? If you defend your family when they are wrong, rather than standing for the truth, then you are loving your family more than Christ. If your family prefers traditions over the scripture, and you let these traditions to, influence your life, then you are loving your family more than Christ. Amen. If you can't follow Christ because it will strain a family relationship, then you are loving your family more than Christ. The Bible says, if you love your father, mother, or like anyone more than Jesus, you are not worthy of him, right? You are not really following Christ. Right. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Look at verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. The Bible says this: Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So in order for someone to follow Christ, they need to take up his cross, meaning to die to self, die to their own desires, and follow the will of God. Verse 25 says this: For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Sometimes following Christ even means that we need to sacrifice our own physical life. Go to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So the Bible talks a lot about the concept of fellowship. Jesus Christ wants us to follow him. He wants us to prefer him above everything else, above anyone else, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Ephesians 5, 1 says this: Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So as children should follow their earthly parents, so we should follow God the Father as well, right? Look at verse number 2. And walk in love, that's how you follow God, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be one's name among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So this passage tells us that in order for us to be followers of God, we need to flee from sin, right? Flee from fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, all these filthy thoughts, filthy jokes. And one thing I do want to bring up on this list is jesting, okay? I don't think this is talking about that, we should never tell jokes at all, because the context is filthiness and foolish talking, which are not convenient, which are not proper. So jesting here is not about innocent humor, but, it's talking about those coarse, suggestive, inappropriate jokes, okay? For example, we should never joke about divorce. Yeah. Things like, if you don't listen to me, I'm gonna divorce you. Hey, that's a wicked. Right. That's a wicked statement. Amen. And we should never joke about railing as well. Sometimes people will throw out this word, you are railing as a joke, when someone says something that's false unintentionally. For example, if I say something like, I think brother Rashid was a police chief in Indy. Oh, that's railing. again, we should never joke about something that's clearly wicked. Okay? Not everything is rolling. And we should never use that word flippantly. Don't joke about something that will get people kicked out of the church.
Yeah.
Amen? Also, if someone misquotes a Bible verse, don't say things like, hey, not your name is blotted out from the book of life. That's wicked. Okay? Don't joke about someone's eternity. Okay? Because we all mess up. We all misquote things. We all get the facts wrong sometimes. Not everything is rolling. Not everything is, you know, blotted out of the book of life. Okay? And, also, we should never joke about death penalty offenses either. There have been times when kids just, you know, played innocently with their parents and they quote unquote hit them, and people were like, "Hey, they shall be put to death." Hey, that's wicked as well. Just imagine the impact on the kids, okay? And you know, if the parents think they are hitting them on purpose, let them deal with it. Okay, don't joke about divorce. Don't joke about clear, like, something that's clearly wicked. Don't joke about railing. Don't joke about death penalty offenses. Okay? Just put away foolish talking, jestings, which are not convenient. Turn to John chapter 21. And don't tell your wife she can leave either, okay? That's just stupid talking. John 21, look at verse 18. John 21, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." So here, Christ is prophesying how Peter would die, right? Peter would die. You know, people think that he, you know, died on the cross because he stretched forth his hand, and like how Jesus Christ was crucified. So verse 18 talks about, you know, the prophecy on how Peter would die, okay? How Peter would die for following Christ. But then in verse 19, after he prophesied this, notice what Jesus Christ said at the end of verse number 19. "Follow me." That's pretty amazing if you think about it. You know, this means we should follow Christ even if it means death. Jesus Christ is basically telling Peter, "Hey, you will die for following me, but follow me anyway." Notice the sequence. Verse 18, "You will die." Verse 19, "Follow me anyway." So Christ calls us to follow him even when he knows it may cost us our life.
Right.
See, fellowship is not conditional based on the outcome. Fellowship is obedience regardless of the outcome.
Amen.
Right? And that's a hard saying. And Christ knows some people would literally die if they follow him, but he expects us to follow him anyway because it is right.
Yeah.
Turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Some people may think that is extreme, that is crazy, but this is not really unreasonable, because Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for you, so even if you give your life for Christ, that's still reasonable.
Yeah.
Amen? Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The word reasonable means not extreme, not excessive, moderate, fair. It's fair for you, it's moderate for you to sacrifice your life for Christ. Think about this. Jesus went to hell for you. So even if you die a physical death, you will go to heaven anyway. You will never go to hell. So why are you complaining about following Christ?
Right.
You will never face hell. So why fearing anything the world can do to you?
Amen.
Right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's your reasonable service. You know, Christ wants us to follow him, even though he knows some of you may die for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this: "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live," don't miss this, "should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for him and rose again." Here's what Paul was saying here. Follow him even if it means death. Because we are no longer living unto ourselves anymore, right? We are living for Christ who died for us, so it's reasonable for us to give our life for him. I think if every Christian has the mentality of following Christ, like the Bible says, the world will be a much different place, right? Just imagine a fearless army who are not afraid of speaking the truth, always preaching the gospel and dying to themselves every single day. Hey, that's a strong army. So will you be enlisted in this army? Will you follow Christ, even if it may cost you something? Even if it may cost you your family, your friends, or your life? So I hope this church family contains many special forces in the Lord's army. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. So point number one, the call to follow Christ. Let me give you the second point. The command to follow man. The command to follow man. And so many Christians think that we should never follow a man, but the Bible disagrees with them. Amen. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 15. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says this: For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So Paul wants people to follow him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Notice, Paul did not shy away from saying, "Follow me." In fact, Paul rebuked people for only, quote-unquote, following Christ. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Following man is a biblical concept. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 11. The Bible says this: "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." So this group has something, you know, bad going on, right? There are contentions, divisions among this crowd. Look at verse number 12. Here's what's wrong. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas," don't miss this, "and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Some people will say, you know, "I'm a Jesus follower, you know, I don't follow any man." That's what Paul is talking about, right? "And I of Christ." Now the question is there anything wrong to follow Christ? No, the Bible commands us to follow Christ, to follow God. But what are most people doing when they say they only follow Christ? They deny human leaders that God has placed in their life, right? They say they only follow Christ, but instead, they are really following themselves. They follow their own opinions. People will say, "I don't follow any man, that's why I don't go to church." But here's a problem. Christ died for the church, and he told us not to forsake the assembly. So if you say that, you're not following Christ anyway. Yeah. Because Christ told us to, you know, Christ died for the church. So if you don't follow any human leaders, you're not following Christ anyway, right? That's why this statement is so stupid. Amen. "I don't follow my husband. I only follow Christ." But God commands you to obey your husband. That means you're not following Christ anyway, right? And if you say, you know, "I don't follow any man," while just ignoring the man of God that God has placed in your life, You know, you are just being rebellious, right? You are not following Christ anyway. So if God placed all the, you know, leaders, spiritual leaders, pastors, you know, your boss, and, you know, any man of God over you, if you're not following those men, you are not following Christ. And Paul was not saying that it's wrong to follow men here either. And, you know, people in Corinth, they were turning good leaders into different factions. Look at verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 1:13 says this: Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So it's assumed that people were dividing on who baptized them. That is stupid. If a pastor is saved, who cares? If the apostle is saved, who cares? If the deacon is saved, who cares, right? People are dividing. Hey, you know, I got baptized of Paul. I got baptized of, you know, Apollos. And I'm a Jesus follower. You know, those people are just carnal, right? That's why we should never pit pastors and leaders against each other. That's what those people are doing. Hey, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I only follow Christ, okay? And, you know, nowadays, there are flatterers and scorners who would love to start a fight among good churches. That's wicked and satanic, okay? They are carnal. They don't follow Christ. They don't follow godly men either. Yep. They're following their own self, amen? Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 17, Philippians 3:17. The Bible says this: Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now, this is not a bad marking, okay? This is a good marking. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. We need to mark Christians who are good examples. Pay attention on how they live their lives, how they deal with problems, how they talk, how they handle pressures. And good leaders live what they preach. Amen. That's why we need to mark them which walk, how they conduct their life. Amen? And, you know, here's why we should mark good leaders, because there are many bad leaders. Look at verse number 18. Here's the reason. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. If you don't follow or mark godly leaders, you will tend to follow wicked leaders who only care about money and fame, right? Whose God is their belly, who only mind earthly things. There are so many pastors, leaders out there, right? Those are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So when you follow godly men, we need to identify or mark good leaders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Don't miss this. And ye became followers of us, talking about Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong to follow godly men, human leaders, okay? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, don't miss this, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Not only it is biblical to follow human leaders, it's also biblical to follow good churches. Amen. Notice verse number 14. Ye brethren became followers of the churches of God. That's why we should be looking at other faithful churches. Look at how they operate. Look at how they live. Look at how they endure persecutions, right? If other churches are having successes in soul winning, music, preaching, hey, learn from their examples. That's why, personally, I enjoy visiting different churches, even old IFB churches. When I go to other churches, I will usually pay attention to their security team on how they position themselves, okay? And I will look at how they will take up their offerings. I will look at how their ushers operate. I will look at how their services flow, because we all should be getting better, okay? Don't be envious of good churches. Learn from them so we can all serve God better. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. You can even learn things from churches who may disagree with us on some minor doctrines. Some churches may be wrong on the rapture, but they may have an awesome music ministry, right? Learn from them. Be humble, right? We can all get better, right? Be followers of the churches of God. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse number 10. Hebrews 6:10. The Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." See, Christianity is built on imitation. Why did God give us all the stories of the successes and the failures of the patriarchs, judges, kings, prophets? To learn from them, right? To learn from their faith and patience so we can follow their good examples, right? The Bible says we should be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why do we have a whole chapter in Hebrews called the Hall of Faith? To learn from them, to follow them, right? Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." These are your spiritual leaders who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The word end means outcome, conclusion. The word conversation means their lifestyle, the way they live their life. The Bible says that we need to look at how your spiritual leaders live their life, examine how it turned out, and then follow their faith. See, I want you to follow me, but you need to look at my life, not just my sermons. Amen. Considering the end of their conversations, right? The outcome of their lifestyle. You know, I heard someone say this, things are more caught than taught. See, a good leader does not only preach good sermons, but also live a good life, right? Keep a place in Hebrews, go to Judges chapter 7. Go to Judges chapter number 7. If a leader talks about soul winning, does he go soul winning? If a leader preach on being patient, is he patient in his life, right? If the leader preaches against bitterness, does he have bitterness in his daily conversations, right? Look at their life considering the end of their conversation. Judges 7, look at verse number 16. Judges 7, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he," talking about Gideon, "divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do." Notice Gideon gave a command and a pattern. And we have the 300 men, they watched him, and they moved together, and they acted in unity, right? And what's the result of following Gideon's pattern? The result was confusion in the enemy and a great victory for the nation of Israel. If everyone did their own thing, there will be massive chaos, right? And, you know, this may offend some people, but I want all of you here to follow me. As I do, so shall ye do. Look at how I handle problems, right? Look at how I, you know, handle slanders. Look at how I fight spiritual battles and do likewise. That's what good, you know, leadership is influence, right? We need to influence other people. Now, turn back to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. So I said point number one, the call to follow Christ. Point number two, the command to follow man. Point number three, the conduct toward leaders. The conduct toward leaders. God has given us human leaders, but there are proper etiquettes on how you follow them. Right. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, and they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So the first thing I want you to pay attention is, you should obey those that have the rule over you. It's good to follow other godly Christians, but your priority should be obeying them that actually have the rule over you. Amen. You should be following me and Pastor Thompson first and foremost. Amen. Okay? I believe there are many godly pastors and churches out there, but they don't have the rule over you. They cannot be involved in our church's matters. They don't decide who gets kicked out. I do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the Bible says you need to submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. That's why you need to learn to take corrections with a good attitude.
Amen.
Don't be mad. Don't be bitter. Okay? Yeah. I know a guy who used to go to our church. Sorry, I'm vague booking. He got mad when I gave him some feedback on his preaching. And the feedback was so minor, okay? I was simply telling him another interpretation that is more probable. That's more probable. And he got all mad and bitter about it. Here's the thing. If you come to a biblical church, be ready to get corrections.
Amen.
Because I actually care. Amen?
Yeah.
Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. If I don't care about you, then I would not say anything. And if you know me, you know, I love keeping the peace, but I also want purity and unity for the right reason. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's why I don't like flatterers. Flatterers will only say good things about you. Every sermon is the best sermon ever. You know, those are the kisses of an enemy, right? You're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. 1 Timothy 5, 1 says this. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The word rebuke means to criticize sharply. You know, obviously this, you know, applied to elders, but I don't think you should walk up to me right after the service and say, I disagree in front of everyone else.
Yeah.
I have had that happen before, okay? If you disagree, just say something like, hey, what do you think about this? Here's another interpretation. Not, I think that's stupid. You are dead wrong. You know, that's a bad attitude.
Amen.
That's a wrong etiquette, okay? Look at verse number 19. 1 Timothy 5:19 says this. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Also, don't believe everything you hear about me or Pastor Thompson or any pastor for that matter. Because we are in the front line of the spiritual battle. We get a lot of attacks, okay? And if you don't know, that's good. But if you do know, there are way more you don't know, okay? And if someone comes to you about something bad about me, ignore him. Shut down the conversation because you're not even supposed to hear an accusation unless there are at least two people. And even with the witnesses, it's still innocent until proven guilty, right? So make sure you have the proper etiquette. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord." Don't miss this. "And admonish you." So spiritual leaders are supposed to admonish you, right? They are over you in the Lord. In look at verse number 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. So, toward your spiritual leaders, there should be a spirit of submission, not resistance. And leaders should be highly esteemed. You don't esteem highly someone that you are constantly contradicting. What do I mean by that? You don't post stuff on social media about the stuff that you know I disagree strongly. Right. I'm not talking about minor differences, okay? Because your goal as followers is to make me look good. Your goal is to maintain the unity of this church body. If you preach behind the pulpit sometimes, you don't just preach something that I clearly disagree, right? That's not esteeming me highly. That's sowing discord. That's causing strife. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 28, "A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." So if you know something that may cause division at the church, don't promote it publicly, right? If you have a serious disagreement, handle it biblically and not publicly. Amen? Go to Numbers 12, Numbers chapter 12. I have seen things like this. Right after my sermon, someone posted on Facebook, "I can't believe a Baptist pastor said this." Bro, everyone knows who you're talking about. By the way, this applies to all kinds of leadership. Wives are not supposed to trash talk their husbands, period. Wives are not supposed to contradict their husbands in public, right? Wives are not supposed to post things, comment things, like things that the husbands are clearly against. Right? By the way, you know, as men, we are not supposed to trash talk our boss and our companies. Amen. So why can't we apply the same etiquette to churches? Yeah. Right? Your goal is to make me look good, you know. My goal as the evangelist of the church is to make Pastor Thompson look good. If I preach something or post something that he clearly disagrees, that's bad. Right? Yeah. That's not following him, right? Numbers chapter 12, look at verse number 1. Numbers 12, 1 says this, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." So Miriam and Aaron undermined Moses' leadership. They made a post against him and his wife. Okay, look at verse number 7. "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And it seems like God is mad at people who speak against their leaders. If you don't like me, then move to a church that you don't speak evil against the leader. Okay? I mean, simple solution. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There are proper etiquettes to follow any type of leader in your life. You know, I literally seen, you know, a husband and wife, they post contradicting stuff on, like, Facebook. It's, like, ridiculous. So I said point number one, the call to follow Christ. Point number two, the command to follow man. Point number three, the conduct toward leaders. Point number four, the caution of following. The caution of following. It's good to follow godly leaders, but don't follow someone to the bitter end. You're in 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse number 1 again. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Don't miss this. You should follow me as I am following Christ. don't follow me if I don't follow Christ. You should never have the attitude that, you know, evangelist drone can do no wrong. I would never make any false statements. I will never lie intentionally. You know, I want you to know a secret. Preachers are sinners. Pastors are sinners. Leaders messed up. Look at the famous judges, kings, and prophets in the Bible. They messed up big time. Follow them as they are following Christ. David, adultery and murder, right? Moses struck the rock, disobeyed God. Peter the apostle denied Christ. Later he compromised with the Jews. Yet they were still followed, but not in their sins. Amen? So you have two different extremes. The first extreme is, I don't follow any man. That is rebellion. And then the other extreme is, my leader can do no wrong. That is blind loyalty. Okay? Go to Acts 17. Acts 17. So we should follow our leaders, but don't follow them farther than they follow Christ. You should never follow a man to the bitter end. You follow Christ to the bitter end. Amen? Don't be a sycophant. Don't be a flatterer. Don't be a scorner. Don't be in a cult. Let me give you some of the examples of a sycophant, okay? A pastor clearly misspeaks or gets a fact wrong, and someone immediately jumps online to defend it anyway. Not because that's true, but because his favorite pastor said it. That's a sycophant. A member posts or shares things just to signal loyalty to the pastor, even when it stirs controversy. That's a sycophant. Rather than asking, is this true? They attack the person who brought it up. That's a sycophant. Instead of saying, the Bible says, some people constantly says, you know, my pastor says, as their ultimate authority, that's a sycophant. People who try to outdo each other in their loyalty, seeing who, you know, agrees the most, who likes most of their post, who defends that person online the most, that's a sycophant. Okay? You're in Acts 17. Let me give you another example. I mean, a pastor changes his stance on some doctrine, and suddenly everyone else changes too, without any personal conviction. That's a sycophant. You're in Acts 17, look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We should test everything with scripture. Amen. Here's how we follow Christ, is by testing the scripture, because Christ is the word, right? That's why we should be searching the scripture every single day. How can you follow a man as he's following Christ? By searching the word, by searching the scripture. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Respect your leaders. Respect your pastor. But replace nothing with your Bible. You are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 20. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says this. Despise not prophesying. Don't hate on preachings. Love preachings. Love hard preachings. But then in verse 21, he said this. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Hey, love preaching. Love listening to sermons. But prove all things, right? Test all things. Test everything. Because I'm not perfect. I slip up sometimes. I say stupid things sometimes. I may even intentionally lie sometimes because I just don't remember the facts sometimes, right? Don't defend error. Don't follow any leaders blindly. Don't elevate a man above scripture. Yeah. Follow truth, even if it corrects your leaders, okay? Yeah. Even if it corrects me. Go to Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, some preachers may not want you to defend them online. I don't really, you know, agree with that. But I do ask you that if you do want to defend me out of principles, defend me out of truth, don't defend me just because of me, right? Don't defend me in your flesh. And most times,
staying silent is better because it will drive the enemies crazy. Proverbs 26, verse 4 says this, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." But sometimes we should answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Right? There's a proper balance. Jeremiah 17, look at verse number 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh his flesh his arm." The arm is power, strength, "and whose heart departeth from the Lord." So the Bible says that you are cursed if you think men are the ultimate authority. You are cursed if you make flesh your arm, meaning if you rely on human strength instead of God, right? When your trust in man replaces your trust in God, you've departed from the Lord. You are not following Christ. Amen? So don't follow a man to the bitter end. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter number 6. So I said point number 1, the call to follow Christ. Point number 2, the command to follow man. Point number 3, the conduct toward leaders. Point number 4, the caution of following. Lastly, point number 5, the consequence of following. The consequence of following. You are in Luke chapter 6, look at verse 39. Luke 6, verse 39. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" That's why we should mark the good leaders so we don't follow the bad leaders, right? Look at verse number 40. That's a profound statement. "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." Verse 40 is pretty intriguing. This is not teaching that once you are perfect, you become the master. A follower is not greater than the one teaching him. A follower should not act like he knows better than his teacher. God puts spiritual leaders in your life for a reason, right? God gives you pastors according to his heart, not your heart. Oftentimes, God gave leaders extra discernment to guide a flock. I know more about different things than you probably realize, and many times I just can't tell you, okay? So what does it mean when the Bible says, "Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master"? The word perfect here doesn't mean sinless. It means mature, complete. So the Bible is saying that if you are completely trained, if you are fully trained in the master's teaching, you will be like the master, right? "But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." You don't become the master, you become like the master. You don't surpass the master, you become like him. Turn to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Obviously, the main context of that passage is talking about God being our master, right? If you are complete in the teachings of the Bible, you will be more like him. You will be more Christ-like. You will be as the master. But you can also apply this concept to fellowship. Here's the goal of fellowship. You become like the one you follow because leadership is influence. Amen. Hosea chapter 4, look at verse number 9. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And there shall be," don't miss this phrase, "like people, like priest." Like people, like priest. See, the followers are usually a reflection of their leaders. You will often see people from certain styles of churches having similar characteristics. This can be both a good thing and a bad thing, okay? If a pastor has loose standards, then his church members tend to have loose standards also, right? If a pastor has a low bar on railing, then his church members are likely to have a low bar on railing as well. If a pastor doesn't call out sins, then his church members may become more tolerable to sins, even subconsciously. If a pastor is zealous for soul winning, his people will catch that fire. If a pastor draws clear lines, then his people will respect those lines. If a pastor has gracious spirit, his people will often reflect that. If a pastor is honest, his people will value honesty. If a pastor is disciplined, his people will likely grow in their discipline. See, people don't rise above their leadership, they reflect it. That's why concerning the preachers and the leaders, Christ said this, "Ye shall know them by their fruit," right? Because they shall be as their masters. See, following is not neutral. Following shapes who you are. That's why choosing who you follow matters so much. Amen? So I hope I have a good influence on you since the inception of this church plant. It's my prayer and my goal to instill godly characters in your life. And, you know, I'm by no means perfect. I fail sometimes. I've told you things that are wrong. I may be overly harsh in some of the things I've said to you. I may overlook some things because nobody's perfect, right? That's why you should never follow me blind. You should never follow me blindly. You should follow me as I'm following Christ. And if I ever point you away from Christ, that's where your fellowship stops. I'm your leader, but Christ is your ultimate authority. Amen. But I hope, you know, you can see my zeal and my heart and follow me as I'm following Christ. So here's a conclusion. Here's a conclusion of the sermon. You should follow Christ first and foremost. But you should also follow godly leaders in your life, especially those people who actually have the rule over you, like Pastor Thompson and myself. And you should also have proper conduct and etiquette towards your leaders. And you should never follow a man blindly, and you are who you follow. Okay? Don't be too spiritual to follow a man, and don't be too foolish to follow one blindly. You know, lastly, I want all of you to follow me as I'm following Christ. Amen? Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the sermon. But I pray that we will develop our fellowship to make you look good, to make our leaders look good, and to have unity in this local body so we can all strive together for the faith of the gospel. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. The last song we're going to be singing is very fitting. Song 296. Follow on. 296. 296. Follow on the first. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. All right, everybody, good singing. Brother Landon, can you please close us out in a word of prayer? Amen. You are dismissed.